Weekend Breakfast.
Lines are always open on 011-883-0702.
Our parenting expert Nikki Bush is with us today. Once again, we're looking at children's EQ today. Very good morning to you, Nikki.
Good morning, Pamela.
What is EQ?
Well, Pamela, really, if I know myself and I can manage myself, then I can know and manage others. So EQ is really a better predictor of life success than IQ, and it's not set at birth, and that's the great thing for parents. It would be really nice if we could pop into McDonald's and say, we'll have two servings for little Johnny, please, but it's not quite as easy as that. And while IQ might be a door opener to success, it's EQ that keeps you in a job. It's EQ that keeps you growing and keeps you connecting with other people. And at the end of the day, and we heard from our last caller, such a lovely call about Freedom Day and how she's going to do a really emotionally intelligent thing and go back to her roots and go and educate people about how to vote. That is about behavior. And where does behavior, where do actions come from? They come from our thoughts, they come from our beliefs, they come from off a basis of our feelings. And EQ is about our feelings and then how we express them and manage them in the world.
So why do we still test IQ?
It's actually not as common as you think. Very few children are tested for IQ these days, unless they go into sometimes therapy or some kind of assessment. Most children are never, ever tested for IQ these days. There is a lot more emphasis on EQ today. Even Wits University for medical students, they are interviewing for attitude before brains. Yes, of course, you've got to have the basics in terms of your straight A's and all that kind of thing. But they're starting to look at things like bedside manner. This is important, but this shows emotional intelligence. You know, you can have highly intelligent people who have no people skills whatsoever.
I'm still waiting for that day when it's not so much first. It should be the other way around. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have the A's.
Yes.
But the entry criteria is still IQ.
Yes. Well, I guess to an extent you're right, because we test. We use that empirical measurement system that is quantifiable. We're going for the quantifiables. And I think in a way it's because institutions are protecting themselves.
But we can quantify EQ. We just haven't done it yet. We haven't standardized it. I'm told that Facebook has standardized EQ even on their KPIs.
You mean Facebook as an employer?
The company.
As an employer.
The company. Facebook as a company has standardized and has quantified EQ, which for me is fantastic.
It is. But you see, those are those evolutionary companies who are not stuck in the past, who are building institutions to match the current age, the era in which we live. And we're living in the emotion economy. This is part of this era. It's not just about, it's not no longer the knowledge economy. It's the emotion economy where relationships are key.
Absolutely.
And they're key not just virtually. Yes, we've got to build virtual relationships, but we've got to build real relationships. Our kids need to know and learn how to build relationships in the real world, not just to build them and connect with people, but how to maintain them. And maintaining relationships over the long term really does require a lot of EQ, because we need to teach our kids to learn to recognize and manage their own feelings, to be aware of feelings of others. That means being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Now, that requires a fair amount of emotional intelligence to actually see the world from someone else's perspective. You know what they say, you need to, it's an ancient Native American Indian saying that you need to be able to walk a mile in somebody else's slippers. To really have empathy. Now, empathy is an interesting one because it's about seeing and feeling from somebody else's perspective. So I hear you. I get you. But not just that. How do you act after that? And that comes with emotional maturity. It also comes with listening. And so often in conversations, we are so inclined to speak more than we listen. And we need to be, as adults, role modeling and putting time into developing our kids' emotional intelligence to future-proof them. In fact, in my up-and-coming book, Future-Proof Your Child for the 2020s and Beyond, there's a section on emotional intelligence, and we already put in 23 ways to improve your child's emotional intelligence. But a lot of it starts with listening as a parent.
So to what extent, because role modeling is a big thing in parenting, right?
Yeah.
To what extent this particular EQ, particularly for the South African mother and father, a guardian and whoever, who is an older citizen, who's coming with this baggage. We're talking today about Freedom Day, who comes with real, real baggage, institutional baggage and more, right? To what extent do we have to be the ones who actually need to be evolving far faster? Because we are bringing up children without that baggage. And I can't tell you how many times I've checked myself when I think about describing people to my children and how what makes perfect sense to you and me is actually maybe not right to the little ones. Because we've got to reprogram how we think of people. When I say to my child, which Joe are you talking about? And the child gets stuck and says to me, the one with long hair. And I think, sure, that's a tricky one. Because that long hair could be braids.
Yeah.
It could be anything. And my descriptors have to be so careful.
Careful, yes.
About what am I saying? Because that's not in their,
vocabulary,
right?
It's not in their vocabulary.
But I also am trying very hard not to create a vocabulary of our past.
Yes.
And I find it very difficult. I must say, I find it very hard. I don't think we admit it to ourselves, but I find it extremely hard because I don't want to say the white person or the black person.
Yes, and yet it's the easiest descriptor to use.
Of course, in this country,
it's
the most natural, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want my children to learn how to describe people like that. They must find other ways to describing people. And I find that I'm finding it hard to describe people outside of what would have been the easiest way to describe people.
Absolutely. So you're right. We have to develop a new kind of vocabulary and we have to check ourselves because we are the role models and our children do take cues from us. And it is about the words we speak. Let's talk about, say, reflective listening, you know, and we're talking about helping children to know themselves. And we have to be watching their body language. We have to be listening to the vocabulary that they use. And we need to be observing how they are in the world. So some of the things, let's give parents some examples of how to talk to their children in terms of reflective listening. So say you collect your child from school and they show you a test that they didn't do well in. Because there's another area where we judge children, and you were talking about IQ versus EQ, et cetera. And so they get in the car and they say, I worked so hard and it didn't help. And we have to reflect that. What are they saying? They're saying they're disappointed, aren't they? We have to teach them to label those feelings. So you're so disappointed, but I'm so proud of the effort that you put in because you know they actually really put in a lot of effort. So turning that disappointment around into a teachable moment. And then you've got to see what they say next. And to see if you misinterpreted their feelings or if you're actually correct. That's the other thing. Your child gets home from a soccer match, he looks angry. He says that the other team cheated. So you say, you're really upset about this because you can see he's upset.
So part of this...
Did they play unfairly?
Is this also part of creating values, a value system?
100%. Absolutely 100%.
So someone asked me the other day, and this was the honest truth. Someone said to me, what did your son's report look like? I think it was 2 days ago.
So this is very hot.
and I said, I don't know.
As in you hadn't looked yet?
I hadn't looked. No. I'm being dead serious. And it's been, I don't know, a week or two. I don't know since when the report came. I said,
I don't know.
I was part of the same conversation the other day as well at my sister's house. They'd also broken up a few days before, and suddenly she went, "Oh, I don't think I've looked for the report."
And I, to this minute, I haven't looked at the report. I don't know where the report is. I don't know if the report exists. I think it does exist in the somewhere in the books, but it hasn't. So the point I'm making here is that, and I also checked how often the report thing has been a thing for me, and actually, the report thing has always been a non-issue for me.
Yes, but that comes across by how you introduced this conversation earlier about IQ versus EQ and why we're still measuring IQ. Because for you, you are one of those parents who doesn't only just measure your child by IQ, by tests. You are trying to see the whole child.
Mm.
And that's part of EQ, is teaching your child that they are more than what's on the piece of paper, that they are a human being first, with feelings, with emotions, with the ability to impact on the world and make a dent in the universe, to change the world just by being part of the world.
Mm.
And once again, it's about how we observe them showing up in the world, how we respond to how they show up in the world is incredibly important. If it's always about, well, you didn't do so well and you could do better, you know, that becomes a language of judgment as opposed to an evolutionary language of doing that kind of reflective listening.
But then there's that, and then there's the real world.
Yes.
And that's the
difficulty. We come back to this all the time.
Thing, right?
So the system.
This EQ that you try and build, and then there's the real world, where the real world, your values and the values of the world don't match up.
Yes. And probably one of the big areas that we see this is where children are in a situation where parents are living in separate homes, where you've separated, divorced, and there are two completely different ways of bringing up children with two completely different sets of values.
Mm.
And I was, I read something the other day about nesting of parents who are divorcing, but who put their children right in the middle.
Yes.
And they buy a home together, but they live in different parts of the home, but there's a common area.
Yes.
Where they choose to have dinners as a family 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
The kids never move.
Mm.
The kids stay in the house, and the parents either move in or out, or, and I think in Sweden even.
Oh, we need to have this conversation.
You buy flats next door to each other, and there's an interleading door, and your kids have consistency. And it's about putting your ego aside for the good of your children. Now, that requires an enormous amount of emotional intelligence to be able to put that aside and say, you know what, we need to meet on the same page for these children to give them the best possible platform to launch their own lives. And I just keep hearing how well it works, you know. And I think that that's an amazing thing. It's not that you don't have separate lives. You do. But your children are your point of commonality, and you can never take that away. So let's make it work. So co-parenting effectively is an expression of emotional intelligence. Learning to say I'm sorry when you've made a mistake with your children is also a sign of emotional intelligence. And eating together and playing together is a great place to share EQ because of conversation. Conversations are the foundation of relationships. Relationships are the foundation of exploring emotional intelligence and expressing emotional intelligence. So we need to give our children the gift of relationships that are as healthy as possible.
Not enough time. We need to do this some more. Nikki Bush, thank you very much for that. NikkiBush.com is where you'll find that conversation. And we're talking about EQ, emotional intelligence around your children. Thanks very much to our parenting expert, Nikki Bush.